Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The audio that you hear behind my voice is from yesterday afternoon around 2:30. This is a midweek report on our Project Frontlines at Denver East High School. On our website today, I will embed this video. It's on YouTube right now, but an easy way to see it will be to go to our KGov, KGOV.com, or you can go to YouTube, look up Bob and Yart, and you'll see another Project Frontlines, Denver East High School. And we ask, can you spot the 8 conversations going on between students and Denver abolitionists who are trying to both save people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to abolish human abortion? So we had there, during this one video that's only a couple minutes long, we had 2 dads, 3 grandmas, 2 grandpas, 1 mom, a 21-year-old, and a 16-year-old. And we had handed out, well, by now, over 800 flyers produced by AHA, Abolish Human Abortion. And about 30 of those flyers have been ripped up and thrown on the ground. And I'd say maybe another 50 were just thrown on the ground. But the rest made it into the school in the mornings or home with the students. And they're very compelling pieces of literature. You see a kid put it in his pocket, put it in his backpack, take it into the school. Yesterday afternoon, as students were leaving, there was a black gal walking with a guy, and I offered them one of the flyers. It's a bigger, more expensive one. It says, "You've been lied to." And he just brushed it off. He wasn't interested. And she said, "No, I want one. Everybody's talking about them. I want one." So I gave her one, of course. The conversations that we had, we had dozens of great talks. And by great talk, I don't mean that a student or a teacher said right there and then, "I know this is true. I want to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation." Now, we hope that happens, even still this week, as it has in many, many such events, as we've been on the streets, at high schools, college campuses, in abortion mills, 5 days a week for decades now. And not just the Denver Christian abolition community, of course, but Christian activists all around the country in similar ministry. And this by way of Project Frontlines. And you'll recall yesterday we had Connor Haynes on, who did a Project Frontlines with his sister, 2 homeschool kids in Pennsylvania just, 3 weeks ago. And a homosexual principal came out, was vulgar, said he wanted him to go to hell, and just really angry and rotten. And so he was going to be fired. He ended up resigning. And Connor and his sister Lauren went on the Fox News Channel in primetime with Tucker Carlson and shared with 3 million people the gospel of Jesus Christ, how great homeschooling is, and that they were not pro-lifers, they were abolitionists, because pro-lifers have been regulating child killing for decades. Their effort is to end abortion, not regulate it. So Project Frontlines has been going on for a couple of years now. It's just tremendous. You could do it where you live. Of course, we're at summer break now for the public schools, government schools, but they'll be starting up, sadly, in the fall. But by great dialogue, what I mean is great talks, that there was real dialogue going on. There were conversations. A teacher asked me, "What makes for a good conversation?" And I said, listening. And then whatever his next point was, he didn't make it. There was a parent that showed up a bit later and engaged me, and he was on a bicycle. And I don't think there was much listening going on, but more about that in a little bit. He had a 14-year-old daughter in the school. Each person who goes to one of these events or any kind of similar event anywhere, going out to share the gospel and to warn people about their sin, about their rebellion against God, about killing unborn children, sexual immorality, whatever it might be. Each person who does this ends up having an important impact on students. And some of the kids and teachers, administrators, security guards, police who showed up, some of them won't realize until later how important it was. Like in that little bit of audio, as the camera panned, you see there's 8 conversations going on between students and Christian abolitionists. 8 conversations. And some of them have 2 or 3 kids. Some has 1. Most have, what, an average of 10 kids? One had about 30 kids. So just really fascinating. I'll share with you a few things that were discussed. Of course, I had my own conversations going on, so I only know a few snippets of other of our group and their conversations. But I'll tell you something that happened that people in the audience, some people might think it was inappropriate. We've been ministering to unbelievers and homosexuals for decades. I've had the honor of leading many homosexuals to the Lord. You might want to go to our YouTube channel, Bob and Yart, and you could see Terry's call, where a homosexual hated me, hated God, called in. I confronted him harshly, and he ended up coming to the Lord over a period of a couple weeks. Just a wonderful Terry's call, Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee. Anyway, a number of the kids, a good percentage of the kids, were homosexuals or, you know, lesbians, bisexuals, lesbians trying to provoke people, Christians who know right from wrong. But to an effeminate male student, a homosexual student, Doug McBurney, as he's got quite a group around him, he said, "Before we continue, you're going to have to drop that phony homo lisp." In the group, everybody said, "Whoa." In other words, that Doug guy just roasted this dude. Well, you could just tell from the body language and the response. They knew it was totally politically incorrect, but you could tell that some of them realized that it was phony. I mean, not even girls. Cheryl, my wife Cheryl, said, "Girls don't talk like that. Girls don't say, 'Oh, pass the ball to me, pass the ball to me.' They don't do that." Now, there's an old TV show, Mary Tyler Moore. Remember Ted Baxter, the news anchor? And then he had a wife, Georgette. Was her name Georgette? Homosexuals, they all imitate Georgette from the Mary Tyler Moore show. Why that is, I don't know. But anyway, it's all phony. And they're trying overtly to be effeminate. So then Tuesday afternoon, there's a few students come out of the school, 2:30-ish. And where's Doug? Where's Doug? And before you know it, a group of 20 students, more than 20, were chanting, "We want Doug. We want Doug." It's just wonderful. You know, years ago I was in jail and I had been invited back on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher on ABC. And so while I was in jail, they had invited me back on, but I couldn't go. I had been on previously. I think I've been on that show 5 or 6 times. And in fact, we have a video of it. If you're interested, Bob Debates the Stars on our store, kgov.com. Click on the store. But they wanted me back on the show. I couldn't go on because I was in jail. And Doug was working for the radio show at the time. Now he's our Monday co-host. And so the producer, talking to Doug McBurney, realized what a gem he is and said, "Well, could you come on the show?" So Doug McBurney went on ABC. And normally, well, it's always 4 against 1, 4 liberals against 1 conservative. And they do that to try to even up the odds. So, and it went so well, then Bill Maher did a special edition of Politically Incorrect at a college campus with a live student audience, and they asked Doug to be the conservative to appear for that program, which was pretty awesome. So Doug is awesome. One student kept hitting Doug in the eye with a laser pointer. So after the third time, Doug called him out. You know, Doug's a former Marine. He called him out and he said, "You do that one more time and I'm going to grab you by your arm and march you over to that police officer and accuse you of assault. You do it one more time." My son Dominic was assaulted twice. It was a very hard slap on his hand both times, where he's holding a stack of flyers and the whole stack ends up on the ground. And pretty, you know, Dominic plays varsity high school hockey, so he's pretty tough. But it's, you know, it's at the school where they teach tolerance, free speech, diversity, respect for all people, respect for all views. It's the beautiful people with their beautiful curriculum. And overall, while we're so thankful that a percentage of the student body is polite, I'd say, what is the percent of the kids? How many kids go to Denver East High School? I don't know, a couple thousand. So the percent that is gracious, even if they disagree or they don't want your literature, that they're polite, civil, gracious, and the percent that are rotten and vicious, sexually vulgar, I think there are similar percentages. So that in the middle, most students, they really just don't want to be there. And they just walk on by, they divert their eyes, whatever. But I'd say maybe 15%, especially, you know, just nice, gracious, thankful, polite. Say polite. And maybe 20% vulgar. I mean, sexually filthy, angry, vulgar. 20% where it's just seething. And then there's plenty of others. You could tell it's seething, but they just whisper to one another. And, you know, what percentage of the words uttered is the F word? What percentage? Probably 5%. Probably one out of 20 words uttered is the F word, I'd say. One out of 20. You know, these kids have been in school for 13 years, government school, public school. So they're vocabulary challenged. And they've been taught tolerance, diversity, free speech, and respect for all peoples and ideas. So, you know, what else? What can we expect? Because they're also taught that they're animals. And that there's no difference between people and animals. Did you know that? Because they've been lied to. So don't be surprised when they act like animals or when their teachers act like animals. And they don't all act that way, but plenty do. So anyway, the kid stopped hitting Doug in the eye with a laser pointer at that point. And then this morning, Wednesday morning, a gal comes with an open letter to the public and to us about Doug, about poor Doug, and about him saying to that homosexual student, "Drop that phony homo lisp." And it is totally phony. On the air for years, you know, a lot has changed in the 26 years we've been broadcasting 5 days a week. And there's been such a fracturing of the distribution channel of television, radio, audio, because of podcasts and music players and 1,000 TV channels and satellite channels. And literally, there are tens of thousands of channels that people could tune into. So back when we started, we were pulling good Nielsen ratings on Christian television for a talk show. We occasionally would beat secular programming, even the late night talk shows. Occasionally, our shares and our rating points, we would draw a larger audience than the big networks occasionally. So it was a different time back then. But homosexuals would call into the show, and they would start sort of talking normally. And as we're in the discussion, they would talk increasingly like they like a girl, or like they think a girl might sound, or like they think they would sound if they were imitating a girl, something like that. And so I would say, drop the phony homo lisp, and they talk like a guy. They would talk like a guy for the next minute or two, and then they'd slip back into the phony homo lisp. And I tell them, when we were kids on the playground, those boys who later became homosexuals, they didn't talk with a lisp. They didn't talk like Georgette from Mary Tyler Moore. They just talked like guys. Just drop the phony homo lisp. This gal, in her open letter, she was upset what Doug McBurney said to this homosexual, and she made it clear that she didn't want us back on campus. And that was a somewhat common sentiment with coming with angry, sexually vulgar cussing, and I mean actually sexually immoral behavior even. So tolerance, free speech, diversity, respect for all peoples and views, that, and I'd say that occasionally. And you could tell in their body language that they realized there was a complete disconnect from supposedly what they are all about to the hatred that lies, it's not even just below the surface, it's right there. All you have to do is speak, and the hatred, the venom, comes out. So I got to speak with quite a few kids. There were two pairs of lesbians, and in one of the groups, you know, like 10 kids talking to a couple of us. And these lesbians, you know, they were hanging on each other. And they said, what's wrong with love? What's wrong with love? And I said, well, you say you love your partner. I hated using the word partner, but I did. You say you love your partner, but you probably hate Jesus more than you love her. You hate God more than you love her, so that you're using her to express your hatred of God. And there were two lesbian partners, pairs, there at the time. So saying it to one was like saying it to both. And you could tell. You could tell in the body language, the eye, you could tell that this was something that they had to deal with, this thought. And that they were thinking of the other one. Is the other one using me because she hates God? Am I using her because I hate my parents, because I hate my church, because I hate, you know, whatever? And the one kept telling me about her family is so Catholic. And I said, what does that have to do with you hating God? And she kept trying to say, my family's Catholic. My grandfather was going to church, and he got killed in a car accident on the way to church. You could tell she used that to hate God, right? That's part of her hating God. Might have been killed by a drunk driver, but why blame the drunk driver when you could blame God? I mean, why do that? This one pair of lesbians, I said, maybe 2-3 minutes later, I said to the one, tonight, pray and ask God, God, do I hate you more than I love her? And right when I said that, they both turned away and walked away. And it could be. You know, on the show, we've had plenty of, over these years, plenty of conversations with people where liberal Christians, Christians who are not eager to take what the Bible says about how to interact with others and unbelievers and use the Bible teaching on this issue, we have an article called Nicer Than God, and it shows how easy it is to be nicer than God and how you hurt people's, the chance that someone would turn to the Lord because of your admonishing them, you're confronting them, you're rebuking them, you're judging them. Well, Christians listen to psychobabble way more than to the Bible, and they want to be liked, And so they use unbelievers and homosexuals. They use homosexuals so that they could have no confrontation and be comfortable. Comfort is easily an idol. And then this person is on their way to hell, and the Christian feels good about themselves. So a lot of Christians would criticize me, but I'm so thankful that in a number of these high-profile cases, the caller, the person we interacted with in public at one of these events, then became a Christian. And then months or years later, came back to thank us, as happened with Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee, and others. I mean, Westword was doing an article on me, not because they like me, because they hate me. And, you know, we have a persecution complex. It's not that we want to be persecuted. It's that it's an occupational hazard. That's why activist Christians get hazardous duty pay from God, because we get persecuted. Jesus promised, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall receive persecution. So we've seen plenty of people come to the Lord through this kind of confrontation. But again, a lot of liberal Christians would think maybe otherwise. I had a lengthy conversation with a student. I'd say he was a junior or a senior. Really neat discussion. And I was handing out that flyer, You've Been Lied To. We had four different titles. They're expensive, you know, anywhere from 25 cents each to up to almost a dollar. And so the whole thing, it's expensive. The signs are very expensive. Large signs that you can read from a half a block away. So this one older student, we talked for, I'd say, 15 minutes, mostly one-on-one. A couple others would come in and listen. And he said, well, you've been lied to. How do they lie to us? So I gave two examples. For both of these, he said, good point. Good point. The first was on gender and homosexuals. I said, in this school, they teach you that gender is a choice, but homosexuals are born that way. Do you realize how stupid that is? Do you realize the depth of misinformation and depravity exposed by that insanity to say that gender, you know, whether you're male or female, that gender is a choice, but homos are born that way? Do you realize the stupidity and the wickedness of that? How they're trying to get you to live your life based on a lie. And he said, you know what? Good point. Because gender, I mean, at the moment of conception, that little tiny baby either has two X chromosomes or an X and a Y. An X and a Y, it's a boy. Two X chromosomes, it's a girl. And that's your gender. It's in almost every cell in your body, not your red blood cells. Your red blood cells, they don't have a nucleus. I don't know if they taught them that at the school, but they're not nucleated. If you're a reptile, your red blood cells have a nucleus. But we, human beings, our red blood cells don't have a nucleus, so we don't have our nuclear DNA in our red blood cells, but all the other trillions of cells, 10 trillion cells or so, they, each one says if you're a boy or a girl, each and every one. You just get a microscope in a classroom and look to say, he's a boy, she's a girl, he's a boy, she's a girl. And so they say gender is a choice, but being a homo is because you were born that way. Just unbelievably inane, but it's not just inane, it's immoral. Because stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. And it's this rebellion against God. The teachers celebrate their pervert students the most because the teachers hate God. And the second point, he said, well, it says you've been lied to. How do they lie to us? So I said, well, the second thing is they say there's no such thing as absolute right and wrong. So to try to get a student to be humble and to reconsider that, because the students all believe it, because they're young skulls full of mush, and they have this thing called the flesh. The Bible calls it the flesh, which is their tendency to hate God. So when a teacher in the curriculum says there's no such thing as absolute right and wrong. The students, by the millions, they believe it. So we try to get them to be humble and to reconsider that. And we ask, is it wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And this young guy, he looked at me like, well, yeah, so what do they say? And I say, no, they say, no, it's not absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman. I said, I've asked the female students that in front of groups, and the female student says, no, it's not absolutely wrong, and the group applauds her. So you've been lied to. One parent stopped on his bicycle, was extremely angry, hard to talk to, and he said, these kids shouldn't see this. I have a 14-year-old in there. These kids should not see this. I said, sir, they see far worse than this every day. Far worse than this. These kids, I said, your daughter, she has unfiltered access to the internet, your daughter. And the boys in there who sexually harass her, they're addicted to pornography. Their entertainment, they see worse than this. In their entertainment, in the stuff you let your daughter see, and you let her in the school where they have systematic sexual abuse, sexual harassment of teenage girls, and you allow your daughter in there? I said, if we were at the Denver Federal Building and some guy said to a woman there, what the boys in this school say to your daughter, it would be a federal case, literally. It would be a federal case, literally. A lawsuit, a federal civil rights case. But here it's systematic, the way they mistreat your daughter. So, and of course, his goal was to change the topic because we're talking about the signs showed the dismemberment of unborn children. Now, this event is being run by Dominic Enyart, who's a relation. He's 16 years old. He's related to us some way or other. And he told the group, I'd say there have been 20 different Christian activists, abolitionists there so far. He said, on Monday, no signs, just literature, so we're more approachable. And sure enough, on Monday, we gave out probably 350 pieces of literature. And on Tuesday, then he said, okay, literature plus signs, but no graphic signs. Just signs that show the baby, but the baby alive, so no dismembered children. On Tuesday morning and afternoon. And then on Wednesday, which is today, now the graphic signs. And it was very intense. One teacher coming out of the school said to me, are you pro-life or pro-choice? So I said, I'm against abortion. He said, then what right do you have to be here? I said, I'm not going to answer that question. And I asked him, are we in Iran, Syria, the old Soviet Union, or are we in America? 30 years ago, they'd say to us, prove it. We'd say, this is a baby, abort it. They'd say, prove it. Today, what right do you have to say that? What right do you have to be here? That's what we hear today. So I told him that his objection to my free speech, that it was based on whether I was pro-choice or pro-life, made him a hypocrite. Made him a hypocrite. So he asked again, what right did I have to be there? And the whole time there was a police car with two officers inside of it, pulled over 15 feet from us, with their windows rolled down, no less. So I told him again, I'm not going to answer that. Why don't you ask them? And he went and asked them. Anyway, so much went on. Check out the video, kgov.com.